Friends, I want to welcome you, whether you're here in person or you're here online, as we worship together today and we see what God wants to say, how God wants to interact with us today. I'm Tim Ward. I'm the pastor here if I don't know you. And I'm so grateful that you've chosen to be here. I wonder if you'd take a moment and pray with me and for me today. God, there's a lot going on again in the world this week. There are people who've been plagued by storms that have come through to our south and to our north. God, there are people whose lives, as they've come into this week, thought things were going to go a certain way and they went another way. God, there are things we couldn't predict that happened and things that feel really heavy, even in the midst of things that are filled with joy. So God, I pray that as I speak today, that you might speak through me, that I would be sensitive to all of those realities. God, that you would open our minds to understand, our hearts to be transformed. God, that we would be willing to give our lives to you so that the world might get to experience more of your grace and your love. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're in this series, we've been in it for a few weeks, called Biblical Lies. And the point of this series is that we're dealing with things that people often say and phrases that people say that they sort of throw out there and they often make us feel more comfortable, but the truth is they're not really true. They're phrases that we use that sort of try to calm things down, or if we're in a situation where we don't know what to say, we say them. And I've been thinking, why is this series, it's felt really heavy to me, and why has it felt so important? And I started to think, it's because words really do matter. Would you agree? What we say to people really does matter, because what we say, especially if we're saying things like on behalf of Jesus, right? Like if we're coming into a situation and we're having conversations with people and we say, you know, God says everything happens for a reason, that holds a little more weight than if we just say that phrase, right? If we say, you know, I go to church and we talk about this and it says this thing, that holds a little more weight. I remember as a kid, there was a phrase that people would use. I think my parents would use it sometimes. If you're listening today, this is not judgment, Mom and Dad. But they would say, I love you. They would say, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you, right? That's a lie, right? Words can be really hurtful, really painful. Sometimes when we're with people, we will say things in the heat of the moment, in the heat of energy, that are really hurtful. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever done it? Yes. So words are really, really important. And that's why this series means so much to me, because I think when we say words, when we're trying to bring people some sort of comfort, sometimes they can end up hurting more than they help. So I want you to check on the power of words. I want you to check out this video right here.
Do to my sign?
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
Right, right? We say to our kids, we want our kids to be kind humans. If there's anything I correct my children on more than anything else, it's the words that they say to people and about people. Because our words matter, our words are powerful. And when we're people, whether you're a person that says, I'm fully in on this whole God thing and the church thing or not, if we're people who represent the church and we go out and say these words, remember, we may be the only experience of Jesus that people have. The way that we interact, the way that we say things may be the only experience of Christ that people can have. So it's really important that our words are said in a way that help people. So we've used a couple of phrases so far. We did everything happens for a reason, and we talked about why that was a bad phrase the first week. Last week, we talked about the phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. When we're talking about the Bible and how we look at Scripture and how we look at it in the context that it's in. And this week, I want to give you a phrase that I have heard probably more times than not in my life. The phrase is, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's a terrible phrase. Erase it from your vocabulary, and I'm going to tell you why today, by the end of today. Erase that phrase. That phrase is a phrase that makes the person who says it feel better. That phrase implies two things. One is that God is the one who brings bad things. That's one of the things that phrase implies. The second thing that phrase implies is that if you can't handle whatever you're going through, you are weak or your faith is weak. Now, where does this even come from? Why would people even use this phrase? Well, some people think they have gleaned this phrase from the Bible. One of the passages that this comes from is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When I was in college, there was a guy who encouraged me to study this passage, to learn this passage, to memorize this passage. So I spent a lot of time with it. And a lot of times people read this, and this is where they get this from. They get this idea from this passage. And then here's the thing I want to tell you about it before we go into it. In this passage, as Paul is writing it, he's not talking about pain and suffering. A lot of people equate this to if you go through pain and suffering, it's because God gave it to you and God's never going to give you more than you can handle. But in this passage, he's actually talking about temptation. In this passage, he's talking about sin. I know that's not a word we love to use, but that's the word that Paul is referring to right here. He's not talking about God's never going to give you more anxiety than you can deal with. He's talking about temptations and things that come up. So let's take a look and let's look at the actual text in verses 12 to 13. So if you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, humankind. And God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So people read this passage, and for years they've taken, well, God will never give you more than you can bear. God will never give you more than you can handle. God won't throw more at you than you can deal with. And that's simply not true. Again, this passage is talking about temptation. What Paul says is that all humans deal with temptation. Temptation is out there for all of us. The internet has just exposed that in greater ways, right? The temptation to one-up people, the temptation to harm people, the temptation to talk about people. There's all kinds of temptations you'll find out there. And the truth is, this passage is specifically talking about temptation that comes. Paul encourages us to understand that when we are tempted, when that thing comes, God will make a way out. God will walk with us. God will journey. It's as if you have two doors to choose from, and one of the doors God wants to walk with you through to get you away from this thing that might cause you pain. Now, I used to struggle a lot with the Lord's Prayer. Some churches do the Lord's Prayer every single week. And there's a line in the Lord's Prayer that I had a lot of trouble with because I've read the whole Bible cover to cover a couple of times, and in reading it cover to cover, I never saw a place where it said, and God's going to throw this thing at you to try to harm you. I never saw a place where it said, and God is going to try to tempt you. In fact, in one of the greatest books, the largest books in all of Scripture, the book of Job, it's not God that's tempting Job. It's the adversary that's tempting Job. That's coming at him. God's not tempting him. The adversary keeps coming and says, can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do it? So what I didn't understand was this line from the Lord's Prayer that said, lead us not into temptation. Why would we pray that God wouldn't lead us into temptation? Until a few years ago, I was reading these commentaries on the Lord's Prayer, and they said, what if there's a comma missing? What if it's really this? Lead us not into temptation. What if what the call is in the prayer that Jesus gives for us to go to God and say, God, please lead us as we head towards temptation, lead us out of it. Lead us away from it, because what we know is that temptation is not good for us. Lead us away from that. Pull us away from that. A few weeks ago, I talked about these nudges that God gives us, right? The Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit. I think that's the way that God leads us away from temptation. God nudges us to make choices that are better for us and better for other people. God nudges us to love people and to care for people. God nudges us to stop talking about people. God nudges us in directions of health, to take care of our bodies. God nudges us towards the things that God is calling us to encourage us. Some of us, God comes and sits down on the side of the bed and yells at us. And others of us, it comes in the form of a nudge, a gentle cue. Hey, let's go this way. Kind of like those leashes we used to use for children. You know, the backpack. I hear they're not allowed anymore, but the backpack things, right? Come on, just this way. Come with me. Right? There's that nudging and that pulling that God wants to give us, because no temptation is good. But let's get back to this idea, this topic. People often say God will never give you more than you can handle. And I don't know if you've ever heard it. I've heard it in my life, right? When I'm going through something really hard, I've heard it said to people who are going through challenges. And it is a way, honestly, I think, for people to try to care for people. Don't worry, God will not give you more than you can handle. And the problem is, when people say it, they're rarely applying it to temptation or sin. They're usually applying it to something like cancer, right? Or they're applying it to something like a bad car accident, or you lost your job, right? Simple answers to complex realities. To suggest as if God caused you to get cancer. God caused you to lose your job. God caused your spouse to leave you. Right, that's what seems to be suggesting in that statement, God will not give you more than you can handle. A few years ago, I had a guy that I was meeting with regularly, and he was having some real rough challenges. He had had a challenge with alcoholism, and as a result had gotten several DUIs. He was about to go to jail. His wife had given up on him. She said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not walking with you. His kids hated him. These were all in his words. His mother was really sick and dying, and he was about to lose his job. Now, can you imagine when this guy came and he hung out with me and those were all of his realities, if I looked at him and said, hey, good news. God will not give you more than you can handle. That is in no way helpful. That is in no way encouraging. That is in no way true. This guy was dealing with really hard, ridiculous things. And in fact, just in the moment, when what we really want to do is encourage people to trust God to walk with them through it, we teach them that there is a God who could not love them very much because God brought this upon them. Do you see the difference? Do you see the distinction there? And friends, if we throw this phrase out, again, we throw it out because we're well-meaning. We're not trying to hurt people. But what we're saying is there's this cosmic being somewhere that in this crazy way will use these things to manipulate people so that they'll do whatever God wants. God doesn't need to do that. God is God. God can do whatever God wants. And from the very beginning of Scripture, we get this word that God deeply loves humanity. Why would God do this? When we're trying to help people and trying to walk with them and trying to bring some healing, what we actually bring using that phrase is more harm. I used to travel to Sierra Leone, Africa. With my previous church, it was something that we did, and we were connected to some kids there. And there was a phrase that they have in Sierra Leone, in Creole, and the phrase is God Day, D-A-E. God Day. And the interesting thing about Creole is when you hear it, there are things that you can pick up that are similar to English, right? There are things that you pick up and you go, oh, what that means is God is there. God is there. So when someone is going through a difficult reality, What a Sierra Leonean would say is God day. God is walking with you through the midst of this valley. God is walking with you through the shadow of death. God is walking with you through the pain that you are in. God is there with you. God is here with you. It seems simple, but I think it resonates in powerful ways if people can grab onto it. See, a lot of times we want to walk with people through things, but the truth is there are very few experiences that are exactly alike. There are very few realities. So just because somebody else has three kids, and like I do, and they have this situation happen in their family, doesn't mean that it's the same thing. So there's a disconnect often when we try to walk with people because of situations, right? It's like when doctors try to prescribe something, they can't prescribe the same thing to everybody who says they have the same problem because everybody's body is different. Everybody's family situation is different. Everybody's reality is different. So we find challenges of walking with people, whether it be through an illness or through something happening to their kid or whatever. We find a challenge with that. So we can't always really walk with people. We can be there for people. But the promise of Scripture, the promise that Jesus gives us is that God will be with you in a way that no other human can walk with you, in a way that you can't even understand, in a way that you couldn't even walk with somebody else. So the question is then, how is God with you? If my Sierra Leonean siblings say God day, right? How is God really with you? How is God journeying with you? It's a big question. It's a big question that we want to focus on as God drives us towards things that give us life. It's a question to focus on as God walks with us through pain and through struggling. There's another verse that people misuse quite often. If you read just a couple verses past it, you'll realize it's Jeremiah 29:11. You may have heard this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future." And people read that and they say, oh, God is planning what I'm having for breakfast. What's the plan that God has for you? To prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. When God walks with you, God is walking with you to give you a hope and a future. Through unknown lands, through unknown places, God declares that God's will for you is that you prosper. God's will for you is that you're not harmed. God's will for you is that you have a hope and a future. That doesn't mean that God cares what you're having for breakfast. It doesn't mean that God is going to fix every single thing. What it means is that God will walk with you through whatever it is with the hope, with that nudge. And friends, we have to be obedient to the nudges. Right? When we go out and we hear these things and these words and we feel these things and we go, yeah, but I don't want to do that. That doesn't help us at all. It doesn't push us at all. When we do that, when we step deeply into the nudges of God, it's there where we connect with the Almighty. It's there where we feel like God is walking with us. Here's the second thing about that. God can be closer to us than any other person in our lives. And that's hard to believe. But God knows the depths of our reality, the good and the bad, the beautiful and the ugly. God walks with us in a way. I mean, one of the things that we get from Scripture that paints a picture so clearly is how much God loves the intricacies of every single person. In ways, my wife and I have been married for 17 years. I think I got that right. Am I right? Okay, good. She's saying yes. Whew. All right, 17 years. And I feel like we know each other really well. And yet I think there are things that God knows so much more deeply in me than even my wife does. And we get the picture of that in the reality of everything that we're going through. It comes out through a lot of the Psalms, right? It comes out through the words that the psalmists say to God. Look at Psalm 42. It says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will pray, for I will yet praise God, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of the Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." By day, the Lord directs God's love. At night, God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Do you hear the beauty of that? Do you hear the depths of that? God wants to be so intricately connected with us. It's a depth of experience, the difficulty and the challenges that we are dealing with, friends. If we have this, no one else can experience those with us like God can. No one else can walk with us in that way like God can. The depth of God's love, God's strength and mercy is the only thing that will meet us there. And I think it's in those times when sometimes we feel the farthest from God, as we're going through those hard things, it's those moments where we need to cling the most tightly to God. Those moments when we hear that voice of someone in our head going, well, God's never going to give you more than you can handle. We reject that voice and we say, God, I'm open to you walking with me. I would imagine that you have someone in your life, if it's not yourself, someone else, that's dealing with something pretty hard. Somebody that you know, somebody that you care about. Don't meet them with a cliche. It's not going to help anybody. Don't meet them with something that seems cheap. Rather, be there as much as you can, encourage them. When you use words, use fewer than more. Remind them of God's love and say, hey, you might not even feel it right now, but I want to claim something for you. God loves you. God wants to walk with you through whatever it is. Can you help them see the conclusion that the psalmist finds at the end of 42? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's one last thing I want to say about this. Maybe not quite last. Sometimes you're going to be called to something more than you can handle. Sometimes you're going to be called to do something and step out in a way that God's nudging you and you say, oh, I can't do that on my own. And God's saying, right, I want to do it with you. Sometimes you're going to be called to step into a job opportunity. You're going to be called to caring for someone. You're going to be called to walk across the street and you're going to say, I have no business doing that. And in that moment, what God is saying is, right, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to walk with you. Sometimes God gives us more than we can handle, not in pain and suffering, but in calling. And sometimes that calling is greater than anything we can understand. During communion today, in a few minutes, there's going to be a song called Oceans. And that song, I really love the lyrics of that song because it says, you call me out upon the water in a place unknown, into a calling of something I don't know. And God is saying, yeah, I do. And I'm going to walk with you. I want to do that with you. Because ultimately what God wants for us is life. God wants for us to prosper. God wants for us to have a hope and a future. When people tell you the world is hopeless, and friends, I hear it more often than not now, you turn around and you look at them and you say, God wants hope for the world. God calls us to a hope. The scripture says God doesn't want to harm us. Please, 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 don't tell someone who's going through a great tragedy that they just don't believe in God enough. Please, 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 don't bring more harm when you're trying to heal by saying, well, God's just giving you a lot, but don't worry, you can handle it. Because I've walked through life with people, friends, who can't handle it, who it's just too hard. Rather, if you want to talk about God, talk about how God journeys with them. How God loves them. Talk about how God can be there for them in a way that you or I can't be. Remind them of the promise that God is not in some far off land somewhere, but God is here in the midst of them. The Holy Spirit is God within us, interacting with us, loving us. And then frankly, be Christ for them. Show them compassion. Show them grace. Don't judge them for how they're dealing with their pain. But walk with them. Trust me, friends. You're going to get a lot further with that than you are with some cliche saying like, God will never give you more than you can handle. Susan's going to come up, and she's going to encourage us to think about this just a little bit more.
So we wanted to make this last part of the message really personal for each one of you who are here today by giving you some reflection time right here in the service. And this happened because I really love this message. When I first read this message a couple weeks ago when Tim sent it, it hit me with a lot of fresh thoughts and fresh ideas about faith, about my own faith, about my own understanding of the scripture. And part of the reason for that was I've read this scripture many times in my life, and I never connected that end part to this phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. And then thoughts kept coming into my mind. And Jen's going to put just the end of that scripture up there. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can. And when I read this scripture before, I always thought of it in light of like the things we think are evil or our temptations in life. Those things we're supposed to avoid that have to do with character or morality. But the longer I thought about it, I thought temptations can come in all kinds of ways. Sometimes we're just tempted to give up. Sometimes we're tempted to give in. And sometimes we're just tempted in the heat of those moments when we're overwhelmed to forget or to doubt God's goodness or God's love for us. So I was laying all this out for Tim this week about how deeply this impacted me. And he said, why don't you get up at the end of the message and lead us in a little time of reflection? So I trust Tim, and Tim trusts me. So I can only believe that means somebody here, maybe all of us, need a couple minutes to make this message really personal to who we are. So I have a couple questions for us today. The first one is there something that's happening in your life or some circumstance in your life right now that feels just too big for you to handle? Because life is going to throw those things at us. Sometimes the diagnosis will be cancer or something else serious. Sometimes the doctor will say to us, I'm sorry, but the only way through this is a radical surgery. And sometimes we'll be in that ICU with a friend or a loved one, and they will pass into eternity regardless of our prayers. That does not mean that God has abandoned us. Life will throw things at us that are too much to handle. So if there's something in your life now or something coming up that feels too big to handle, here's my question. Is there a way that someone could walk with you to help you find that way out? Is there someone you could reach out to and ask for help? Very likely there's someone in this church, any one of us, who would be willing to walk with you, talk with you in that. But man, it's hard for us to ask for help when we're in the heaviness of that. So I want you to think during communion about your own life and some circumstance you might be facing and how God might be able to bring someone alongside you and do that. That's what a faith community is about. That's why we're here. I read a study this week that said one of the top five predictors of living to 100 or over is to be part of a faith community. And Marie is here today as living proof of that. That's what community is about. And the second question is to what Tim was saying, in these moments of communion, search the people you know, your sphere of influence. Is there someone you know who is facing something that is clearly too big for them to handle on their own? And yes, you can pray for them, and that is really important. And sometimes that's the only thing we can do. And in those times, prayer is powerful, It brings comfort, it brings hope, it brings healing. But I wonder, if you know someone like that, is there something else that you might be able to do for them? Is it possible that there are things you could do to be the way out that God has provided? So those are just the two questions that were on my heart this week for us to reflect on during this time and for us to think about. And as we do that and enter into this time of receiving communion, I want to pray for us. So will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, who never, ever gives us more than we can handle, but is always with us, always loving us, always caring for us, and always inviting us into community, the kind of community that lets us be the hands and feet of Jesus to each other. So in these moments, speak to our hearts. Reveal to us what needs to be revealed in our own lives and in the lives of those people we love. Comfort us. Lead us out to be your people and to serve the world in greater ways.